began a journey through one of the letters written by Peter. Peter the Apostle, the friend of Jesus. He wrote a couple of letters that we've got recorded in Scripture. But we began looking at 1 Peter. And our theme for the whole of the next few months up to the end of June is dual citizenship. Dual citizenship in the sense that we see from Peter's letter that the early Christians actually recognized that they lived in two different worlds at the same time. They lived in an earthly world and they lived in a heavenly world, or God's world. So that's the idea we're going to be exploring further. Next week, we're going to be looking at what it means to live with integrity as citizens of this earth, with all its demands and all its pressures. So that's the theme for next week. But today, we're going to look at what it means to be living as citizens of heaven with all its advantages and blessings. So today we're starting with the good news, if you like, and then we get onto the tougher stuff next week. So let's have a look at what Peter says. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 3 to the end of verse 12. If you want to follow in the Bibles that are in the pews, it's on page number 1217. 1217. So it's 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're beginning at verse 3. So this is a part of a letter that's written to all the new Christians scattered throughout what today is known as Turkey, but in those days was called Asia Minor. Well, I'm not sure about that. Maybe they called it something in Aramaic or something. But anyway, it's that part of the world. And this is Peter writing. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of these things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Amen. So what is it that, what are the things that even angels long to look into? Well, what it means to be citizens of heaven is actually captured for us by Peter in just three verses. And it's the first three verses we just read, verses 3, 4, and 5 of 1 Peter chapter 1. And these three verses seem to talk about different things, but they're all related. They talk about, and the things that tend to sum up the experience of life. They talk about birth, they talk about death, and they talk about the bit in the middle. So we're going to have a look at these three verses. And what they say is sort of reflected in the rest of the passage we read. So in verse 3, the first thing that's mentioned is birth, or more precisely, new birth. Being a Christian, we're told, means experiencing a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I was particularly struck reading this passage by the phrase, living hope. Living hope. Because, I mean, if you're a psychiatrist or a psychotherapist or psychologist, you'll know that hope is a really, really important thing. And that when people are facing struggles, that are, when they're out of their depth against, you know, up against something that really is awful, it's the hope that it eventually is going to end that gets them through. And so you get people like that in desperate situations, clinging on to hope. But what Peter is talking about here is not just hope. He's talking about living hope. And that's something much better. It's a hope that arises from knowing that Jesus is alive. That's what this verse means. We have a hope that comes from knowing that Jesus is alive. And we're not just talking sort of philosophy or theology here. We're not just talking about, you know, the memory of Jesus lives on in us. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that Jesus is alive and he's with us. We're talking about a reality. We experience this reality in lots of different ways. We experience this reality when we pray. We experience this reality when we're stuck, we don't know what to do, and we look for guidance. We experience this reality when we experience that overwhelming sense of God's presence and his Holy Spirit within us. Something that we tend to celebrate around about Pentecost time. But it's part of the reality of this living hope that is Jesus. We experience that reality through the love that is shared among us by other people in the world. You know, love is God's gift. It's a sign of his presence. So we experience this living hope in lots and lots of different ways. And that living hope is Jesus. And today we're celebrating the new birth. Is that Holly or is that Emily? Have a quick look, check. Emily. Okay, Holly's away, but Emily's still. We're experiencing Emily. We're celebrating Emily. We're celebrating Holly. Today their mom and dad have promised that they will bring them up in the faith so that in time they too will become aware of the living hope that they have in Jesus, so that in time they will know that Jesus is alive and that he's with us and with them and that he knows them. And that whatever happens in their lives, whatever they do or don't do, whatever they mess up, which we all do, he will still always love them. And that love is never going to change. As Christians, we are given this privilege. It's nothing to do with us. It's not anything we deserve. We are gifted this privilege of a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So that's the first thing. That's the first blessing, if you like, of being a citizen of heaven. The second thing Peter mentions in verse 4 is to do with death. Now, someone famous, I don't know, there's different, either it was Churchill or it was someone in America, or I don't know, always said there's two certainties in life. You probably know that phrase. It's death and taxes. You know, we've all got to face them at some point. Certainly death is something that we all have to face. But when it comes to our death, we are promised an inheritance that will never spoil or fade. Will never spoil or fade. I'm one of these weird people that you bump into every now and then who actually believes in heaven. You know? I mean, it's bad enough that I believe in God, but I also actually believe in heaven. I mean, sometimes just don't know where to look. People, you know, I talk about this at funerals. If you've been to a funeral I've taken, then you may have heard me talk about this sometimes. I believe in heaven. I believe in heaven because Jesus believes in heaven. Jesus, who died and rose again, he believes in heaven. And so therefore I tend to think, well, there's someone who knows what he's talking about, and I'm willing to trust him. And that's why I believe in heaven. And the interesting thing about Jesus when he talks about heaven, and I've said this before, but it's worth saying as many times as you get a chance to say, he doesn't actually go into much detail because he knows there's no point. I mean, heaven is something that is beyond our ability to imagine or understand. It's a bit like when Emily was in her mummy's tummy, how could you explain to her what the world was like? I know, I'm sorry, I mentioned your name. But how could you explain to her what the world was like? We wouldn't have the words because she wouldn't have the experience. Well, it's the same when it comes to us and Jesus in heaven. He doesn't go into detail because he knows there's no point. But the words he does use are words that we will understand. And they're words like joy and celebration and reunion with loved ones and peace. In other words, heaven is a place. It is a state of being. It's somewhere where we will be able to enjoy these things. And these are the things that really matter in life. Just take it from me. These are the things that really matter. I've got a bus pass now. I can say things like that. What really matters in life? Is it money? Is it possessions? Is it fame? No. In the final analysis, what really matters is knowing you're loved and being at peace with your friends and loved ones and at peace with your God. Those are the things that really matter. And those are the things that await us. This is our inheritance that never fades. Now, the weird thing is that an inheritance usually comes to someone who's alive when someone else dies. But in this case, it's something that will come to us when we die, although someone has died to make it all possible. Just last week, I was asked to take the funeral of a remarkable lady who died when she was 84 years old. I'd been asked to take the funeral because she'd been living in a nursing home in the parish. She wasn't a member of this church or this congregation. But her story, her life story, when I met her daughter on I think it was Monday or Tuesday afternoon to talk through the service. And when her daughter told me her mum's life story, it was heartbreaking. Apparently, her mum, she'd been born in Northern Ireland, in Enniskillen, and in those days, when someone isn't married, then it wasn't a good thing. You know, well, it still isn't a good thing, but don't get me started on that one. But you know, it was seen as something that was scandalous, and so her mum gave her away, and she was raised in an orphanage down in Dublin, and she never saw her mum or dad. And when she eventually traced her birth certificate, on the birth certificate was written, unwanted baby. Now, could you just imagine that? You just imagine that. And then, you know, her life started that way, and she came to Edinburgh and trained as a nurse when she was 18. But when she spent the last 30 years of her life struggling with illness. She managed to lose her husband, and then she lost her son. And for 30 years, she struggled with illness, ending up in full-time care. So, my goodness me. And yet, in the middle section, about 30 years of her life, from what I learned from her daughter, she lived a life of compassion and generosity of spirit and laughter. She was the sort of person, she raised a family, she was a nurse, she knew all the old ladies in her street. Apparently, just trying to get down her street was impossible for the kids because her mum always had to stop and chat to someone, ask how they were getting on. She was just that kind of person. And she had, throughout it all, despite her childhood, she had a really strong faith. Maybe it's because of her faith that she got through. And so I was able to say with complete assurance on Friday at her funeral, it was just a small affair, there's about a dozen of us there, that she has now claimed the inheritance that has been waiting for her all these years and that awaits us too. So that was the second thing that we're promised. The third thing is mentioned in verse 5. That in our present life, we'll be shielded by God's power. How does that work, you think? Well, Peter's not talking about earthly power here. In our present life, we'll be shielded by earthly power. You know, when I think of earthly power, saying this to the folks at 9:30, people tend to think, well, I tend to think, maybe it's just the way I'm wired, tend to think of Superman. Does anybody here know Superman? Hands up if you've heard of Superman. Yeah, well done, well done. The bad news is he doesn't exist, okay? So I'm sorry if I've disillusioned you all. But you know, Superman's power. So whatever needs saved, Superman is able to save it unless it's got kryptonite involved, but I won't get into that. You know, so whether it's a war or whether it's a disaster or whether it's two planets about to collide or whether it's a cat stuck up a tree, Superman comes and he saves the day and everything is perfect and nothing bad ever happens. So that's not what I think Peter is talking about here. That is not the power that he's talking about here, which will shield us. Rather, he's talking about something that I think of as resurrection power. Resurrection power. In other words, bad things will happen. Bad things will happen. They happen not because God wants them to happen. They happen because we live in an imperfect world where bad things happen. So it's part of the reality of life. Life is a bumpy road, but it's worth traveling because the God who is with us shields us with his resurrection power. In other words, he gives us the strength that helps us get through. And that's a promise. One of, easily one of the highlights of my year so far was a celebration we held here in this church last Sunday evening. One of our family here had just been granted an asylum claim on the grounds of his faith. And so we celebrated that together. And his name is Amarata. And we had him sitting up here, and we interviewed him. I'm telling you, he could have gone on all night. It was just, there were hundreds of people here listening to him. Everybody's just sitting on the edges of their seats trying to grab every word. Because it's a remarkable story he told. I mean, he is from Iran, where he lived a simple, nominal Muslim life, where he was very well off, where he had a good job, had lots of friends. You know, and he was a lad. You know, you got an impression. And he lost all of that when he became a Christian. He had to leave it all behind when he became a Christian. When the authorities discovered that he'd converted from Islam to Christianity, they tried to track him down. He had to flee the country. The only way he could flee the country at such short notice was to pay a fee and get in the back of a container. And he was in the back of that container for 12 days. And so you imagine it's bad enough being trapped in here. You can't actually get out. You're dependent on the people who are actually driving the lorry. But it was refrigerated. 12 days in a refrigerated lorry. And it took him as far as Amsterdam, via Hungary and all over the place. And then finally to Dover. And he ended up in Dungavel Detention Center. And if you were to ask him, what got him through all of that? He would tell you that he felt shielded by the resurrection power of God. It was God's strength that carried him through. So there we have it. We have Peter's insights into what it means to live our lives as citizens of heaven. It means live our lives knowing that in Jesus we have a living hope, that through Jesus we have an inheritance that will never fade, and that the living presence of Jesus is always with us, shielding and strengthening us with his resurrection power. And Peter actually goes on to describe what that feels like. And it's an amazing verse. It's verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. An inexpressible and glorious joy. And I catch a glimpse of that sometimes in my own life when, you know, something really awful is happening and yet still I know it's going to be all right. You know, there'll be struggles, yes, but an inexplicable sense of God with you and the peace that comes from that. An inexpressible and glorious joy. And he goes on to say that when you experience that inexpressible and glorious joy, You're glimpsing heaven. You know, you're experiencing heaven now. You're already experiencing the goal of your salvation, he says. There's a common perception that being a Christian is about living a miserable life in the present. I don't know if you've ever picked that up. Famously, the Emperor Constantine, he was wanting to be baptized. But he said, no, we'll just leave it to the last minute because I want to enjoy myself. Now, party. And maybe he's the place where all this idea of being Christian, you have to live a miserable life, comes from. But, you know, a joyless life full of boring piety and endless rules about things you should and shouldn't do so that you can somehow earn God's favor and have a good life in heaven. You know, so being Christian becomes pie in the sky when you die. It becomes escapism. You know, you have a miserable time now, but it'll be worth it. But that's not the impression I get reading Peter's words here. It's not my experience either. And I don't think it's been Amurata's experience, despite all his trials. Being a Christian means knowing now that inexpressible and glorious joy. Knowing that you're loved, that God will not abandon you. I think as Christians here in the West, we often forget how easy we have it. I mean, to us, faith so easily becomes, well, we forget it's a matter of life and death, unlike Christians in other countries. And so we take it for granted, and it cheapens it. The really challenging thing for me, listening to Amurata's story last Sunday night, was listening to all that he was going through, knowing that he could have avoided all of that if he chose to. He could just as easily as that said, okay, I'll become a Muslim again. That's all he needed to do. And he could have stayed with his Mercedes and his good job and all his friends. All he had to do was choose not to follow Jesus. Simple as that. If you get the chance, ask him if he regrets making the choice he made. Just ask him. I can't speak for him, but I do know choosing to follow Jesus, for all the reasons I've been talking about, was the best decision I have ever made in my entire life. Let's just take a few moments in silence and use that silence as a chance to process these words of Peter and what you've heard today and what you've thought today and how you felt today, and to ask, you know, where's God in all of this and what's he saying to me and what am I going to do about it? Loving Father, we thank you that in Jesus we have unsearchable riches. That the privilege of being a citizen of heaven was bought by you at a terrible price. And that it's a measure of how much you love us. And so forgive us when we take it for granted. Help us to become more like you and use us to make a difference. We ask this in Jesus' name.